Good morning. I'll call the meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order this morning. We have Senator Olson, Senator Davis, Senator Meyer, Senator Thomas, Senator Stevens, and Senator Huggins. Welcome to you all. It is, March 29, 2010. We have 21 days left in the session. I guess that's why everybody's here. The race is on. Anyhow, it's approximately 8:05 a.m. Would like to at least mention now, so you know, we do have a time frame to operate in. The building is being dedicated this morning, so we need to be out at 9 o'clock, and that leaves just about enough time for each person to get 1 minute, is what appears to be. So Senator Stevens is going to make a couple of introductory remarks this morning, and then we'll have some introductions made of Walla's here, or vice versa, whichever way we should do that. And we'll rely on the folks from the various districts to do the introductions of your people. And when you do speak, we are on the record, so please make sure that you mention your name and who you represent for the record. And with that, Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, it's a pleasure to have all of you here, and this is really a very special day here in the Capitol in many, many ways. Of course, the first and most important thing is that it's the first time for us to meet with you, so many of you, as an actual sitting, standing committee of education. We have not had that before, and this is the first session in which both the House and the Senate have had a standing committee on education. And it's been very important, I think. It's really made a big difference. We've really been able to focus on educational issues. As you see this year, many major things occurring in terms of forward funding of education that we've been working on for some time, been able to do the last 2 years. Addressing the issue of the schools that through the Xyla case that needed to be addressed, the school construction issue, so very, very big issues for education that we are facing. And besides that, of course, today is the day that we will dedicate this very room, the Belts Room, Senator Belts, first senator, first president of the Alaska State Senate in 59, and then this whole building to Tom Stewart, who many of you have probably met along the way. The budget is on the floor today, great movement forward, and of course here we are having a chance to meet with the school districts. That makes it a perfect day, and very pleased to have you here, and I look forward to having a chance to talk with you. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Well, welcome again, and if you would care to put yourself on the record and make some introductions so we know who all is here and what districts. I realize that might be a chore in itself, but anyhow, please do your best.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. My name is Lon Garrison. I'm the school board president of the Sitka School District. I'm also on the board of directors for the Alaska Association of School Districts, and I drew the short straw or the long straw to be the first one up here to bat. So they asked me to introduce and make a few brief comments before we got going with everybody else. So I'll try to go around the room real quickly and point out the districts that we have here, and then maybe those folks from the district can introduce themselves very quickly so we don't take up too much time with that. So I believe we have, my district, Sitka School District, and Dr. Tom Connolly, the Anchorage School District. So we have Jeff Friedman and Crystal Kennedy and John Steiner. We have from Kenai, Sonny Hiltz, and who else is here from Kenai?
Tim LeVar and Bill Holt.
Okay. Unalaska, Tammy Pound, our association president, and Sonia. And, okay. From Klawak. I think I saw Klawak here. Roseanne Demert and
Karen Clary.
Okay. From Southwest. Do we have
Dan
Sharp? Okay. Kodiak?
Jeff Stephen?
Norm Wooden.
Okay. I believe, do we have somebody from North Slope here? There you are, Arna.
Arnold Brower.
Thank you. Chugach?
Charlene Artisan.
Okay. Northwest? Couldn't recall if we had somebody. Juno. Andy Story from Juno. Who else have I missed? I know I've missed quite a few. So if you could just pipe up and let me know. Oh, Fairbanks. Sorry, Sue. Sue Hull from Fairbanks.
Yeah, Mighty Matsu.
And Matsu, yep.
LYSD?
St. Mary's.
And did I miss? Who else did I miss? I know I missed somebody.
Upi. Anna,
Anna, yep.
Upi. So I think that covers it pretty well. We have a few.
We also have Woody Casale in the audience.
All right.
That's right.
So anyway, good showing. You know, this is our the second fly-in of the spring that we come down to speak to you folks about issues concerning education. And first off, I'd like to say that, you know, we both as an association and I think as school districts across the state are extremely grateful and pleased with the support that education has received over the last 3 years. And we're hopeful that that support continues, and having a standing education committee is evidence that it's risen to a level of priority that it really probably deserves, and we're very encouraged by that. So to see that happen and to see the good work that's going on today and the support for things that we know are critical to educating the kids throughout our state is something that's very important to us. Just real briefly, some of the things that that we have focused on as we've met on this fly-in and previous ones. We, as an association, resolved around a number of issues and kind of tried to boil those issues down to, you know, three main issues for us. One is funding, of course, and where do we go from here after having the first 3 years of the great work that the Education Task Force put together and the stability that gave us. So House Bill 317, which we believe continues that work, is a very important bill to us, and we're hoping that that can continue to move forward and continue the promise, so to speak, of the good work that the legislature has done in that regard. So, and that is extremely important to us because it does provide the opportunity for forward funding and the ability for our districts to focus on the important things, which is the efficient use of money to budget ahead of time and know where we're going to be going in future years in terms of planning for education. And that's so critically important to us, not having to worry about, you know, the following year, how many students are we going to have, how many teachers are we going to have? Are we going to have to give out pink slips? Where are we going to go? It gives us the ability to do that planning, and I think spend that money much more wisely than if we had to rely on the old system where from year to year we were always wondering where we were going to go. As you mentioned, there's a lot of good work being done with school construction funding. Senate Bill 237, or the committee substitute for that, and we think it does provide a much more equitable statewide formula for that construction. We're very pleased, and yesterday during our conversations about what was happening throughout the legislation, the ability for urban and rural districts to get a little bit of something out of that, and the ability for that to be unanimously supported, you know, wide support from both urban and rural districts. And anytime we can continue to keep that partnership together, it's a very, very good thing. We continue to have a huge backlog in major maintenance for state schools. And anything that we can do to move forward on that is something that we really need to do. One of the things that we're very concerned about is that the longer we go on deferring that major maintenance, the more that we're going to have to look at replacement, which may be much more costly than major maintenance. So, you know, it's. I think it's incumbent upon us to tell the story about where we're at with that and how much that is a necessity for us. Moving on to another topic, which would be innovation for student success. And when we talk about innovation for student success, we're talking about bringing our kids into the 21st century. Incorporating technology into the curriculum, using the tools that they actually already know how to use so well, but we need to be able to give them the guidance to know how to use them wisely. And so one of the programs that the Association of Alaska School Boards has been involved with is the Consortium for Digital Learning. And we feel that's an extremely important program for our school districts to be able to take advantage of. And it's a, you know, it's a shared responsibility for the funding there. So I think the state gets a good value for that money being spent. And I don't think we can ignore the fact that pencil and paper aren't the same tools today that they used to be, and we've moved into a digital age that's much more demanding, and we have a hard time envisioning the kinds of jobs that our kids are going to be taking, and the education that we have to provide them using digital means, technology, those kinds of things are absolutely important. And I think it's absolutely important that we have a trained workforce that knows how to use those tools for the state of Alaska, so that we can keep those kids here and working for the state. The other item in terms of student innovation that we are encouraged to see was the Governor's Performance Scholarship. It's gone through a number of iterations. I think we all believe that the idea of this as a motivating tool for kids to be an incentive for kids to take more rigorous coursework, to become more prepared for college, and to have that reward at the end to be able to know that they could receive some financial support to continue their higher education, whether it's in college or a career in technical, we feel is a very good thing to have. And we strongly support it. We understand the need for needs-based. We're also very supportive of the merit end of things. So what we can do to continue that effort, we highly encourage you to do so. Finally, the last point that I'll speak on real briefly is early childhood development. And we all know that young brains are the place where we really have the opportunity to make the biggest difference in how well our kids are going to succeed. And so the efforts of this legislature so far and what we see on the bills moving forward and the funds to support early childhood education is extremely encouraging. And I think we feel like we're getting our message across that this is where we really do need to be focusing and continue to focus. So the pilot programs, we're encouraged to see those continuing, money for best beginnings and those kinds of things, excellent work. We're hoping that in the future that we can see that that emphasis and that support continue and grow. Because as we know, if we put the effort in on the front end, we don't have to spend the costly dollars, you know, at the end to remediate, and we can have a major effect on dropout rates. So, just real briefly, those are our major talking points, and I'm sure there's going to be a few folks from each district that would have their own story to tell you, and I'll leave it there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your comments. And just a couple of comments regarding some that you made. I can't speak for everybody, but generally I think we believe that pre-K through college or vocational technical education is a continuum, and we see some spots in between that do not seem to reflect that understanding. So we're working on that rather hard. That is one of our goals, is to make sure that people look at it that way, and that brings in all of the various things that that you have to look at, whether it's testing or whatever along the way, to make sure that we're understanding that we're trying to get people from point A to point Z, and it is a continuum. And we also understand that early education is extremely important. We've talked a lot about that, and those early minds. I've been to some Best Beginnings programs and talked and listened to those folks and talked to others that have been there, and people are getting pretty excited about that. But we just sometimes seem to have that problem when we see the statistics, even on intervention and early and prevention and things like that, not only in education but in other issues. We just have a problem understanding, not necessarily understanding, but implementing the idea that if you spend that money early on, you'll save money in the long run. But people still have trouble sometimes pushing that button, you know, yes, that green button to take that step forward and try and accomplish that. So, but we're working at it slow but sure, and we appreciate you guys coming down, because that does make a difference when when people from your folks from the various districts come and remind us of those things. We're pushing forward. And there have been a fair number of bills, and you seem to have a good grasp on them, so that's fine. And now there may be other comments that other folks on the committee may want to just make briefly, and then other folks, or if you have something else you might want to add. Okay, very good. Are there other remarks from Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for coming out. Thank you for everybody. This is great. This is very informal, so if you need to come and go, feel free to do so. And I apologize for the room not being large enough. I guess we weren't expecting this kind of crowd, and it's good to see everybody. I think you have addressed most of the bills that we dealt with this session. There's a couple, though, that were a little difficult for us. We did end up passing them out, and I would like to get the group's opinion. I work very closely with my superintendent, Carol Como, but obviously that's Anchorage. That's not the whole state of Alaska. A couple of them, well, I think one was Senator Davis here, had to do with repealing the exit exam. Certainly would like to get your opinion of that. Again, I know what the opinion is of the Anchorage School District, but not statewide. And then the other one was, I think this might have been yours, Mr. Chairman, was it lower legal age for attending school from 7 to 6. Some of the others you addressed that were education bills, the education tax credits, I don't know if you addressed the charter school facilities. And then, of course, the scholarship program was a big one we spent a lot of time on. You did address that. But perhaps if you could speak a little bit, especially about the exit exam, I would be interested in.
Sure. Maybe I'll ask anybody in the audience would like to speak to that first.
And maybe as they come up and speak, they could address it then. Okay.
That's certainly fine. Yeah. And just a couple of comments before anybody does step forward. It was a shock to some people that we would do that. It seemed like we were lowering the standards or we're not paying attention to what's going on. But we at least some of us became convinced that unless we did something with a test that didn't seem to be the best test in the world, it had been reduced, and most felt that it was more an eighth or ninth grade exam. So we felt if it was going to be changed, reconfigured, and be more appropriate, that we had to set a time frame. If we just commented on it and said we wanted something done, we would be talking about it next year, and we'd be talking about it the year after, and it would continue on. And as the bill read, it changed the test, at least the purposes of the test, July of 2011. And the next test that probably would have been given after that point in time would have been October of 2011. So we have 19 months or so before the test would be being used. And we thought that was a fair amount of time for people to take what they already have in place, revamp it a little bit, and potentially make a more appropriate or more comprehensive test that would be a better measurement. So we thought there was plenty of time, thought that it's like anything else. If you have a deadline, somebody will do something. If you don't, they'll just let it ride. So that was some of the thinking behind what took place here anyhow.
Just come on the exit exam. This past Saturday, last Saturday, was what we call the legislative skits, where the staff that work for us have a chance to make fun of us. And one of the comments, some of you I know were there, one of the comments about Senator Bundy's retiring was that they said he couldn't retire until he passed the exit exam. So.
Well, I would say as a group, we had quite a bit of discussion about the exit exam and the worthiness of the particular exit exam that we're using today. And I would say there was pretty general agreement that it was not really an appropriate exam any longer, that it didn't necessarily adequately serve the purpose that it was designed to do. One of the interesting things that we had at our February fly-in is we talked with the students that were attending the fly-in with us and got some feedback from them directly on how they felt they personally viewed the exit exam and what they thought their peers viewed the exit exam as. And most of them surprisingly said we should have an exit exam. We feel like it's important. But most of them also said they felt like that particular exit exam didn't fit the bill, wasn't the correct tool to be using, and that a lot of their peers felt that, you know, once they had completed the exit exam, what's the point after that? You know, if you completed in 10th grade, then on you go, and why do you really have to go on to 11th and 12th grade? What's the point? So it was interesting to us to hear, and I think to most of us encouraging to hear, that they felt like it was important to have that exam. So I think we would all agree that we would like to see an exam that would better suit that purpose. It's a tough question because, you know, we're getting more and more pressure every day to look at it in terms of national standards. And we all know Alaska has a hard time fitting in with national standards. So we need to do what's best for Alaskan kids, but we also have to look at ourselves in the broader perspective as well. Does anybody else want to comment? John?
Actually, I don't know if I need to be at the mic, but
you probably do. It doesn't pick up that far away. And then your name and who you represent. And
just one clarification. My name is John Steiner. I'm president of the Anchorage Board. One clarification on what Lon said about this is what the students said was they were interested in not losing the accountability that is in the current exit exam. And they weren't specific to say we need an exam. And one of the issues of the exam is a high-stakes exam leaves students who have actually achieved pretty well but don't do well on exams. It may prevent them from getting a diploma.
Right.
And the students didn't say they like that. So the notion that it should be a high-stakes end-all and be-all exam is one of the things that's very troubling to the Anchorage District and I think to the students as well. But they do definitely want to see accountability. So to the extent we put in some other means of accountability, they think that's good, but it shouldn't be an end-all and be-all exam. There should be alternate ways that students should demonstrate that they're proficient enough to merit a State of Alaska high school diploma.
Thank you for the comments, and we looked at it much that way as well. You know, that was where the conversation got started, and we also were concerned that, politely, that it was a measurement of the entire system as well, you know, not just it was the measurement of teacher preparedness as well as the curriculum and everything that's going on to get to that point, because obviously there's some that do a lot of their own educating out of the classroom and stuff depending on their parents' desires and what they're looking forward for them to do. So that makes a difference as well. So we see it as definitely something that needs to be in place but needs to be appropriate enough that people can comprehend the test, that they can react to it. Those that just are better at tests don't excel, and those that aren't are put in a deficit position or something like that.
That's correct, Senator. And the other thing the students mentioned is that with the current system, once a student passes that exam, some of them get the idea, now I've satisfied the requirements to graduate, and in fact, why should I even stay in school?
Right.
And one of the things the students mentioned is that whatever the accountability program, it should also allow students who achieve way above the base to demonstrate that proficiency and have that recognized in some manner. And right now we have no incentives that says that if I pass 100% of this exam, I'm going to get some notice of distinction. And something to allow people to give them an incentive and motivation to demonstrate their advanced proficiency would also be preferable to the students.
And we would appreciate your comments on that as you think that through, what would be helpful, what would be that second step or stage or whatever that would cause them not to feel that way, that they're done, but there is another step or even a third step or something in the transition, whether it's college credits, that type of thing, gives them that opportunity, makes that more available to them in schools, that type of thing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Others on that particular subject matter or anything else that that you think we have or have not been doing very well here?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to note, and Gail and I were talking about this last night along with some other people on the aircraft we're flying back into Juneau, is that You know, we are quite fortunate when you look in comparison to the other 49 states. I mean, their talks is about laying teachers off, about cutting budgets, about four-day education weeks, and all those austerity things. And what we're talking about is expanding the 70-30 construction. We've got money in the budget process for the digital learning process, and we're looking at trying to dovetail into a national system to do charter school facilities. And so there's almost $60 million more in base student allocation this year as there was last year and the year prior, and our motto in the Senate was keep the promise, and we're doing that. And so, you know, I'm proud of where we are, and you're holding us accountable for that, and we just want to make sure that in that process, that bringing along student performance and graduation rates and success in college and vocational training, and I got to be particularly proud in our school district that we have a Korean Tech school, which is one of the cornerstones of my estimation in the future as we go forward in our state. But I guess bottom line, I am bullish on what we are doing in our state and the resources that we're dedicating to that task. And I'd like to just thank each of you for your leadership in that, and particularly my good friend Carl Rose back here, because he has certainly done a great job for us. And I say thank you for that, Carl.
One other comment I would make on the school maintenance: we did take the list and we went over it. At least a couple of us did, and we put forth a plan. And I can't guarantee that it will actually be put into implementation, but we saw it as a good one. And that was, I think it was 280 some million dollars, almost $300 million worth of projects on the one list. And if we took a threshold of $2 million, that $2 million, I believe, got us to 90 some of the 120 odd projects that were on the list, and dramatically reduced. Of course, there would be more coming on, but that list has been being compiled for some time and not a lot of activity on it, so that would take a huge chunk of that list. And then if you moved it to 3 million, it took a few more off the list. It left obviously some big ones, but then you know, sometimes down here we get confused with too many things, you know. And so if we could narrow the list a little bit with one big chunk, and that was I think the total of that was only about 65 or $70 million would take care of that chunk of the work, leaving obviously some other rather large projects, but make it easier to then concentrate on getting the bigger ones accomplished in some kind of reasonable schedule. So, and you had your hand up, please step forward and put yourself on the record and who you represent.
My name is Sunny Hiltz. I'm from the Kenai Peninsula School District. And I just appreciate Senator Huggins' comments, because we are all very proud of the work of the Education Committee, the task force. I cannot tell you the difference it has made in the Kenai Peninsula. Just the life it's given us and the encouragement. I have been on the school board for some time, and in the Kenai Peninsula, I raised 5 children, and I have 5 grandchildren in the system. And some of you know that for me, I think children should be the top priority of the state of Alaska, and I think you're moving that along. My passion is for education and children, that all children be educated well. And I think that in the work that we are doing collaboratively is absolutely getting there. Today, I'm very grateful for the education my children got. I'm very grateful for the improvements in the education my grandchildren are getting. But today, I am particularly concerned about Danny, of the class of 2027, my great-grandson. And it will keep my focus on what is going to be needed for that child to graduate. My great-grandson is Alaska Native, and he lives in a rural area. And I want to make sure that he has all of the opportunities that any other child in the state of Alaska has. And I think that we're headed in the right direction. I do want to speak for the CDL, the Consortium for Digital Learning, because I think it's giving tools and opening doors in ways that are absolutely necessary for the children of our state. The schools that I represent are also rural, but they're on the Central Peninsula. But I have schools, Russian Village schools that are off the highway, Alaska Native schools that are across the bay. And it is not easy for us to provide the courses, to provide some of the activities that we would like to see our children do. But the fact is, digital learning is making a difference. We are seeing Alaska Native children in the villages using the CDL. We're seeing the Russian Old Believers using it. And it's changing not just the kids in school and their opportunities, it's changing their communities. And I think that the real challenge for us is to stay ahead of it and to keep it going. I have no question that the promise will be kept here, because we see the dedication, and we are so grateful for what you've done, and we will support you. And if you have things to tell us, ways we can support you, we'd like to hear that too, because we realize we're working together. I love the acknowledgement that pre-K through the university system is an integral program. It cannot be viewed as this program here for early beginners and this program for postgraduate. It has to be a comprehensive program. And the faster we get there, the better. The more aligned our programs are, the better. And I really believe that class of 2027 is going to benefit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sunny. Certainly. Sue Hull, please come forward. Put yourself on the record.
Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for your comments. That helps us kind of know what you're thinking, and I agree with Senator Huggins. You've been doing some wonderful work. The ability to plan makes a lot of difference in our districts, and we've been able to do some important things with those dollars. You know, as we look at 317 and the promise that's made, you know, if that's passed for the next couple of years, one thing I want to call to your attention is that the CDL meshes with that, because that increase is inflation plus some in the block grant. What we know about the block grant is that special ed sucks up most of that money and will continue to. As the folks from Anchorage were saying yesterday, you know, the dollars only cover half of their special ed costs, which of course cuts into what is intended for average students or middle-of-the-road students. And then to talk about that being intended for CTE, that's a real challenge. You know, how do we do career tech when there are so many needs with special education? But the CDL makes it meshes with this, because one of the things that tends to get thrown out of our budget is investment in things like technology, because we can't fit it in our operating budgets. We just had this conversation in Fairbanks last week as we were approving our budget, and our CFO is saying, well, wait a minute, we can't do that. You know, we can't purchase those computers because we don't have the money. We can't have the support that we need to get multimedia sorts of things happening at the secondary level to help amplify their learning. And so the CDL is really important, and the association has requested $10 million. I hope you will look seriously at that request, because it will enable us to, make the strides that we need to keep teenage boys engaged. You put that technology in their hands, and for some reason, all of a sudden, their eyes light up, and they're willing to pay a little more attention to writing an English assignment, for example. And so I hope you'll look seriously at that $10 million. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is related to major maintenance. Those of us in the larger school districts are prevented from putting, you know, all of our major maintenance on the list, as you may know. I hope that you received the paper from the association, the gray paper that I see there, that lists $800 million in major maintenance backlog. We really need your help with moving down that list. Fairbanks only has a couple of projects on the list if you just go down in terms of dollars, and we have real needs. And I don't know if preventive maintenance is, you know, considered, you know, if we were to neglect our buildings, we might be able to get some of our projects a little higher on the list. And we're trying to do what we can within our operating dollars. But I really hope you'll make a significant investment in major maintenance, because we really need that. And then I just have to throw in one last sentence related to early learning. Thank you for speaking about it as a priority and making some investment in it in the budget this year. You know, Best Beginnings brings together a comprehensive look at that. 0 to 5, you know, sometimes when people talk about pre-K, they're just thinking, you know, 4 and on up. But looking at how we really get to early brain development that happens in the first couple of years, and allowing communities to make choices about how to best address those needs based on a local assessment. And that's what
Best Beginnings can do. So thank you for your attention to those issues and for having the Education Committee. This is a wonderful tool for us as folks who care about education to be able to speak to you on just education issues. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Others? Certainly. Please come forward, put yourself on the record, and who you represent.
Jeff Friedman, Anchorage School District. And I'll be real brief. I just want to thank all of you and your colleagues here in the legislature for what's happened over the last few years. I haven't been on the board as long as some people here, but I've been here for 7 years, and the last two or three years has been a major change in attitude, both from the districts and from this from the side here in the legislature, that I really believe that we are working as partners to do what is best for the children and the state of Alaska. And I don't think that was true my first couple of years on the board, and I do think it is true now, and it's largely because of the efforts of many of you to really look at education seriously and try to do the right thing within limited budgets and limited time. So I just want to thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for your comments. Now we're getting rolling. Please come forward. Yeah, there we go. Don't be bashful. Come forward, put your name on, put yourself on the record and who you represent.
Good morning. My name is Arnold Brower. I'm with the North Slope Board of School District, and it's a pleasure to see this facility open. And I'm really enlightened, just like everybody. I just want to mirror everybody's, especially Sue's comments. And one thing that I'm I like to try to push is, because we're so far north, we're so far in the rural districts, anything in that area that brings us closer through fiber optics, digital learning, I think that has a lot of merit for us to be right here. And one of the things that I was thinking about in digital learning besides school learning is that it acts as kids get their cell phones and things, that they have a personal counselor. They can call their mom and their dad, and when things go wrong in the school. And I think those are part of the things that we don't have counselors and things in the school. It really helps the stability of students to be in class. And one more thing is that the tutorial things, when there are so many teachers that have been laid off throughout these processes that are need to be restored, but tutorial things has, I think, made an impact on things for the, especially it really showed in the North Slope Borough, in the North Slope, that this year we had the, you know, we were able to climb out of those things and made about six of our schools back to AYP. And I just want to commend you all for listening to us and having this forum. Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you. The broadband that's being laid, I can't tell you the time frame for it, but it's leaving Kodiak, is my understanding, and going around and through the chain and all the way up to Bell and then beyond. Actually, it's expected that it that ultimately connects to Northern Europe. So that will be a huge huge impact on the western, northern, western, southwestern part of the state of Alaska. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could remember the time frame for it. It seemed like a pretty broad project, but we're assured that they're getting on with it, so we appreciate that. Certainly. Come forward. Yeah, please. Come forward. Put yourself on the record. Yes, you. That's right. Come on.
My name is Charlene Farnison, and I'm from the Chugach School District in Whittier. And I would like to comment also on the major maintenance and repair. Our schools sometimes are our students' safety zones, and if they're not safe, some of the issues are replacement of roofs. I know it took us 7 years to get our roof replaced. Meantime, when that was not being replaced, we were having ceiling tiles falling on the children. We can do a really good job of educating our kids, but their environment has to be safe, and it has to be something that will enhance their learning as well. Because a lot of kids, that's their safe zone. That takes the place of their home. And we have several of that And digital learning has done such a great job in our school system. The kids that would not read or write, that didn't want to do their essays, are now being able to do it, especially when they can do spell check. So I'm a great believer in that. I'm just now beginning to be somewhat technically savvy, and those kids are helping me. And I can't believe how little they are and the technology they know and what they use. And I'm really proud of all the things you've done, and I thank you so very much. I've been coming here for 10 years, and yes, I have seen a difference, and I still will be coming as long as I'm still on the board. And I appreciate everything you've done, and I'm going to see some of you guys later today and tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, and we appreciate your involvement. Carl's wiping his brow.
Mr. Chairman.
Certainly, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Charlene, I identify with your comments about the business of technology. As a matter of fact, here just a few days ago, I bought a new iPhone, and I texted our son, who's going to school back in the Northeast. In any event, he texted me back and said, "Dad, is that really you?"
Yeah. Certainly amongst, there must be some more that said, "I finally got my opportunity here. I'm going to tell him what I really think about this stuff." So must be somebody else.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, please come up. I'm just kind of filling time here until we get our next speaker. One of the comments and one of the reasons why I think that we as a committee passed the governor's scholarship program was we were assured that the rigorous program requirements could be met in some of the rural areas, and I would like to hear from the rural areas to make sure that that is true. But you know, we're told now with everyone having this digital capability that's possible. The commissioner did assure us, though, if it wasn't, that he would take it on a case-by-case basis, and the person or the students would still get the scholarship. But that was a big concern, just to let you know. Sorry, Andy.
Thank you. I'm Andy Story, and I'm a Juneau School Board member. And I really wanted to thank everyone for the forward funding of education and having a plan the last 3 years for funding. Really helps us be efficient, budget within our means, prioritize. I am always educated by our staff at the district in different ways. And one thing that really helped me with the importance of early learning was the analogy of a race. When our kids come to kindergarten, you can visualize a starting line. And we've got some kids who are placed 2 miles back. Their learning is of a three-year-old. Some, they're 1 mile back as a four-year-old. Then we've got the kids who are right on kindergarten readiness. Then we've got the kids who are 1 mile ahead because they're sixth grade level. And then we've got kids 2 years ahead. So our teachers are really trying to bring some of our kids up for, you know, 2 years of learning in 1 year, and then they are, you know, differentiating their work. And so when I think of early learning, I think of education to get those kids all kind of, you know, to the kindergarten readiness. So it is really important, the early learning dollars that you put in for brain development and our kids being up there. So that helped me. And then the other thing, the task force that you're creating and getting everyone together to look at the K through 16 system, it really made me think about our assessments that we're using and an accountability for tests, because our when the kids go into the university system, they are taking tests for placement, and we need to be aligning that test with the test we're giving at high school. And so I think the work of your committee is the right way to go on that task force, and I want to thank you for the efforts on that and encourage that work. So thank you.
And thank you. Next up, sir, come forward, please. Put yourself on the record and your affiliation. And
Ferdinand Sharp, been a school board member the last 2 years. And in my education in Mount Edgecombe, I failed to speak, you know, in public because I couldn't speak English. But I had to overcome that, so I'm very grateful that I'm able to come stand up and voice my opinions and concerns. I retired in education, and my wife is still teaching. And what I'm finding out from my grandchildren is the education system that you are supporting has let me see through my wife that's really committed and dedicated. We need educators that are dedicated. My wife teaches K through third grade, and she wants them to compete against the higher students. So every time I come in contact in her classroom, her students would be reading pretty fast. And also, I've seen my own grandchild writing. She's learning to write. And the one that I remember her writing was, "I will miss you guys." She's talking about her family. My daughter is going through a pretty tough time. One of our grandchild got diagnosed with leukemia, but she's doing really good. She's getting the treatment and doing well. And my daughter is going through training. What I'd like to say is I'd like to thank you for your support in getting a task force in studying, because I couldn't have probably made it through life, because I went through a 2-year program in electronics technology. And the first computer I saw when I went to university campus was about the size of this room. And now I keep thinking I should have kept on with that field, because even if I got an A in degree in education, there was no jobs for me at home. So they were looking for natives with at least 2 years of college. And there was a federal program and a state program that kind of started me. So anything any programs that, like a scholarship program that we have through the university, I've seen a lot of our top students get that scholarship, and then they didn't finish because there's no support. With the scholarship program that I see going into the bill, I'd like to see some kind of a program that supports that system, because with no support, I wouldn't have made it. And a lot of our natives are not making it because they don't have a support group that's working to help them go through this system. So I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity.
And thank you for being here. We have a few more. Senator Stevens.
Before we leave, I know we just have a few minutes and I know others to speak, but I just wanted to comment on the fact that we really do appreciate the fact that you have run for office. You put your name up. You're taking the criticism, and there's always going to be criticism, being on a school board. It's the toughest job I ever had. I spent 3 years on the school board. It was the best job I ever had, frankly, in 26 years of being elected official, the best job I ever had, because you really saw everything you did was fun. Everything you did had a good ending. Everything you did affected kids. But also, I was on the school board the year that Sheffield had to cut the budget because of the funds that the reduction in revenue. It was the toughest thing I ever had to do. I had to lay off teachers. Hope none of you ever experienced that. But I did want to say, just putting your name in the arena, taking that criticism, doing your best, you deserve a lot of credit, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Please come forward. Put yourself on the record and who you represent.
Yes, good morning, Senator Norm Wooten from the Kodiak Island Borough School District. I've always been eternally grateful that Senator Stevens didn't hold my comments during that cut as a parent when I testified before the Kodiak School Board. I've always sort of worried about that when he came down here, but he has not taken any action against me. I've had the opportunity to visit and to be in school all over the United States, literally all over the United States for a number of years. And it's sometimes a little embarrassing when folks talk about their problems and the challenges that they're having in other places. And I have to guard against saying, well, in Alaska, we do it this way, because we have the greatest schools in this country. And the opportunities our students have are unparalleled all across the United States. And you folks need to take a lot of credit for that because of your support in funding and the programs that you've implemented and enable us to implement in our districts. We do have those very best schools. Specifically, in response to your question about is it possible for our rural schools to receive the rigor necessary to qualify for the proposed governor's scholarship program, in Kodiak, we are specifically addressing that, and I can tell you, yes, our kids in our rural sites are receiving the rigor. When I came on the school board 20 years ago, we had a dual system, and we didn't expect as much from our rural kids, the kids in our village sites, as we did our town kids. And that bothered many, that bothered all of us on the school board, at least in Kodiak. And over the years, we had a lot of false starts in trying to figure out how we were going to change that. And at a point several years ago, we standardized the requirements for graduation all across the Kodiak Island Borough School Districts, both in our rural sites and in town. Well, if you're going to do that, then you have to offer the same opportunities. You can't do one without naturally following the other. And through technology, this year, we are finally, I think, well on the path to offering the same opportunities for our village kids. And just one very quick example of how we're doing that. Over the years, we had cut music and arts in our schools just so that we could offer other programs, and that was a real failing, and our community demanded that we reinstate that, and we did a couple of years ago. This year, we are offering music, band, orchestra, all those types of music, in every one of our village schools. Just recently, we had a concert, a rural concert, in which the band director was in Kodiak at a school board meeting directing kids in multiple sites through our video technology. Shortly after that, I was talking to our commercial provider for that service that we contract with, and he said, you can't do that. That system is not designed to do that. And you have this pause, you know, this lag, 1 or 2 second lag on that. So how are you doing that? And the only answer I have is, in Kodiak, we're not smart enough. No, you can't do that. Yeah. And we're doing it, and it's working. And so I'm here to tell you, we do offer that same rigor in our rural sites, and we're making every effort to make sure that those kids have the same opportunities as kids in more urban areas do. So please be assured that we understand that challenge. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And that same theory works with me and maybe some of the others on the board, that we're not smart enough to realize that we can't accomplish some of these things.
That's right.
Other comments? We've got time for at least one more, I think, and then we have a finance committee as well, as this room needs to be prepared for the... Please come forward. Yeah, put yourself on the record and give us your 60-second thought.
Yep. Hi, my name is Bill Holt, and I'm from the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And I'd just like to address early education just for a brief moment. My wife is a teacher in a Montessori public charter school in Soldotna, and she has students in her class she teaches first, second, and third grade. And a lot of times she's come home and talked to me about the very difference of abilities of those kids. A lot of times she'll have a first grader that really has more advanced capabilities than a third grader, and vice versa. And so a lot of the comments that come back are that you know, when she talks to parents and tries to figure out ways to get kids up to speed, is what's been happening in the family prior to that. And it's been amazing that, you know, a lot of families don't read to their kids. A lot of families do read to their kids. There's a real variation in what happens there. So when you think about early childhood education, you can think about it not necessarily as the kid divorced from the society or the family. It really is involving the entire family and what early childhood education is. And so I think when I look at that, I see that as an opportunity to engage a family in the child's education as well as just the child itself. That's really all I wanted to say. I think that it's a very important aspect, and it's a way to bring families and children into a learning community that they will, you know, keep for the rest of their lives and sets of patterns.
Hey,
thank you very much.
And thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Well, the bells are ringing. Thank you for being here today, and I know you all have a busy day. Good luck as you travel through the building, and we look forward to talking to some of you later in the day. Thank you again. The meeting.
Okay. Yep.
Yes.
We have a bill or two to take.
I think Dahlstrom.
Good to see you.
Dahlstrom.
And I don't know if we're
Representative Dahlstrom's bill. Yeah.